2 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Let's bring this thing home. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, November the 13th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield. With the hoodie, rocking the hoodie this morning. There on the other side of the glass, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. So, as I said yesterday, I showed up a day early for the Morning Rotary Club. So, I was back this morning. Enjoyed that engagement this morning over at Indian Hills Country Club. Although, I will say this, Chase, I my personality. When I know I'm out of my regular routine, I never sleep to the alarm anyway. So I set my alarm for 5:45 because it's a 7 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock breakfast meeting. So I woke up at like an hour earlier than that. So I just went ahead and got up about five and didn't go to bed until I went to bed fairly early. I went to bed at like 11:30, but I couldn't go to sleep. So I don't know, maybe got 3 or 4 hours. But anyway, I feel good. I'm ready to be here, and got a great show on tap as we always do on Thursdays. I'll run it down for you here in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you that as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Alabama Credit Union is a special organization, member-owned and not-for-profit that makes a world of difference. I'm telling you, find out for yourself. Get by and see them at one of their 38 locations around the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida, including the main office right here in Tuscaloosa, or find out more at alabamacu.com. They've got a great website that explains everything that the credit union is about. It is a highly rated credit union, and it is a member-owned institution. So that means they prioritize your financial well-being. And when you become a part of Alabama Credit Union, you're a member of a community that values your success, because that's all they're about. They're not trying to be for profit. They're trying to make it as best an experience as they can for the members. And together we strive for financial empowerment, creating a brighter future for you and your loved ones. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. Ample extra change in your pocket. All right, great show on tap for today. Thursday is always a great lineup. We have got the coach, Ellis Johnson, at 9:30 to break down SEC football. We've got D. Orlando Ledbetter. We didn't have him last week in Berlin. We couldn't get through with him. So we'll ask him how that experience was and how the Falcons blew another game against the Colts. And talk about the rest of the season for the Falcons and Raheem Morris's status. All of those things. And then at 10:30, Jeff Spiegel, longtime sports anchor, ABC 3340, host of the EOG Wrap. We'll talk college football and basketball with Spiegs at 10:30. Your phone calls, as I said, are welcome. We've been getting a lot of calls this week, 205-342-9904. And Bama football and basketball, very similar scenarios. Now, one's a conference game, obviously, against Oklahoma, and Purdue is from the Big Ten. But in basketball, they're looking to get a little payback after the Boilermakers beat them last year up in West Lafayette by 9. I think it was 87-78. And, of course, football got beat 24-3 out in Norman, and that game eliminated Alabama from any chance of making it into the college football playoff. In fact, basically knocked them out of the college football playoff. They'd won that game and then finished out the way they did with wins over their non-conference opponent in Auburn in the Iron Bowl. They would have been in the college football playoff. So you're looking to get a little payback if you're Alabama basketball tonight against Purdue. And I don't know if you know this, Chase, because I was caught off guard. I was thinking, now SEC aside, but non-conference, because I know Houston came in here a couple of few years ago and they were really highly ranked. But this is the highest ranked non-conference opponent to ever play in Coleman Coliseum. Purdue's number one in the coaches poll and they're number two in the AP poll. I did not know that, realize that until Nate Oates said that this week at his press conference. So huge game tonight. Alabama coming off that win over St. John's. St. John's was number 5, Purdue's number 1 and number 2, depending on the poll. And but as Oates said yesterday, if you lose tonight at home, and it, you know, it kind of cancels out that big road win you had over St. John's. So this is a big game tonight for Alabama. I know it's not in the SEC, but it's at home, and you're playing a team that that handled you last year. So, you know, it's going to be an electric atmosphere for Alabama tonight, and I expect the Crimson Tide to play really, really well. I think that they're going to win the game tonight, and I think football is going to win on anyway, we got a lot going on in the hall out there. But anyway, it's a big game tonight. It's a big game on Saturday. And we're going to dive into it full speed here this morning. In fact, I'm going to check something real quick before we hit the break here on this game tonight that I want to check. Again, I know that the TV issues that are going on, I guess – and I'm going to be – this is a 6 o'clock tip tonight. That's what I was double-checking. I think I was thinking it was 6, yeah. So I'm going to go over for a little bit. And, you know, we're doing 9 o'clock news now, so I can't stay as late as I could if we were doing 10 o'clock news. But I'm going to go over for a little bit of this. Of course, if we were still doing 6 o'clock news, I couldn't – you know, I couldn't go until the game started. So I'm going to go over – after the 5, I'm going to go over and watch the first half of Alabama and Purdue. But for those that, I guess, Chase, are still on the YouTube TV – ESPN2 is blocked, right?
Correct. Okay. It's still blocked.
So if you're not coming to the game and you've got YouTube TV, you're going to have to figure out a way to watch it because it's on ESPN2 tonight at 6. I got to remember to record it at home, too, because I like to watch the game back at home when I have an opportunity. So, but anyway, huge game tonight, huge game on Saturday afternoon. Bama men's basketball and football both in the top 10. And I have not checked, but I can't right off the top of my head think of any other programs that are in the top 10 of both right now. Men's basketball and Ohio State's not in the top 10 in basketball. Indiana's not in the top 10 in basketball. Georgia's not in the top 10 in basketball. A&M's not in the top 10 in basketball. Alabama is. So that's interesting, but... All right, 9:14. We're going to get to our first break. 205-342-9904. I'd love to hear from you in the next segment. We're wide open for phone calls in the next segment. If you want to give us a ring, we'd love to hear from you. Also, the coach, Ellis Johnson, coming up at the bottom of the hour. D. Orlando Ledbetter at 10 and Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. 205-342-9904 is the number. Also, we might get – did you play any Nate Oates on Whippenberry this morning? We might get to some Nate Oates. You got that, don't you, Chase? Yeah, if we get an opportunity to hear the Alabama men's basketball coach. All right, we're off and rolling on the show. This hour is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Let me mention to you, tomorrow, Friday's at the Free. I'll be live at Industry Hours Pub. We're going to be giving away another nice full-size print tomorrow, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. In fact, it's going to be a national championship print with Nick Saban and the players. So we'll be giving that away as part of our Bama football trivia, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale. That's tomorrow morning at Innisfree Irish Pub. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. After last night's U.S. House vote to reopen government, West Alabama Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell voiced indignation that a provision was quietly placed in the bill by GOP leadership to allow U.S. senators, including Alabama's Tommy Tuberville, to seek damages if federal investigators obtain their phone or office records without proper notification. Tuberville and other members of the upper chamber could get up to $500,000 for each valid claim. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more news on Hartley Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three
Thread.com. Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 71. For tonight, clear with the low at 44. For tomorrow and Saturday, the weather stays dry. Lots of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Show Ellis Johnson, the coach, coming up at 9:30 right now. We're going to jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904 and talk with Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you last Friday.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure, buddy. Glad you got to come by.
Yeah, I got to meet some of your homies down there. I was not cool guys. Motley-looking crew, but all good guys. Nobody can hurt a plea. I just turned you on. I watched the Purdue coach's press conference yesterday. I watched Oates. I tell you, that Purdue program, they're not going anywhere. Their retention is about, when every year we have 8 or 9 new guys for Alabama, they keep 90% of their roster every year. I think they probably don't spend much money on football. They probably put it all toward basketball. The thing has changed with them a little bit. 3 or 4 years ago, they get guys that come in as freshmen, they develop them, and they're ready to go by juniors and seniors. The recruiting class they just signed yesterday, I think it's college basketball signing day. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
They're starting to get guys. They're getting the Bama bump or the Final Four bump, whatever you want to call it. They're getting guys now that can score. They don't have to be the get a screen. It kind of like Houston. Will Houston get a bump from being in the Final Four? Will they be able to start signing some offensive guys that are willing to play in that system? But my question is tonight, our big showed up against St. John's. The St. John's guys did not dominate us. We held our own. And then, Manute Bowl or T. Bowl, whatever his name is, BB. I'm going to call him BB. He played great.
Taylor Bowl.
TBB. Can he have another medium or a good game tonight? Will he hold up? But they just put their bigs. Of course, they don't have that big guy anymore, but they seem to be more physical. I'm very curious if we hold up tonight.
Yeah, that's what makes this game so interesting is, like you said, premier program. Matt Painter is a great coach. Nate Oates is a great coach. Two premier programs, different styles of play, different philosophies on the way to play the game. And yet I'll say this about Purdue. They're going to pound the post, man, and they're going to try to get you in foul trouble. They're going to try to get to the free throw line. They're going to try to get wear you down. But Braden Smith is gifted, and as a point guard, he can keep up with Holloway and Filon. So they can score points. I mean, in fact, last year I thought Alabama offensively against them was okay. I thought they, they were good offensively. But it's still two different styles of basketball. You can't let them get you in foul trouble. Alabama's already going to be a little shorthanded up front, and you got to be able to limit their ability to catch the ball on the block and score, from that 3, 4, 5 foot range. Yeah. Then you got to avoid the turnovers because, I think Patino's right. I mean, that's how you beat Alabama, is you turn them over. So you got to take care of the ball. And at the same time, you got to get up and down the floor. I mean, you got to try to make it a track meet to beat this team. So it's going to be a really interesting game with two great coaches. And, I can't wait to see how Alabama plays against them. Because, the win against St. John's was great, but it's like Oates said yesterday, if you turn around and lose at home, and you kind of cancel out that win a little bit.
Exactly. don't know if you knew this, you listened to other coaches' press conferences. Braden Smith has a chance to break the all-time NCAA assist mark this year.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You look at his scoreboard, or what do you call it, his stat sheet the last couple of games, he has a ton of assists. There's one guy that's been there for 3 years who made 7 three-pointers, and I think Braden Smith, whatever his name is, assisted on 7 or 5 of them last game. So he's paid, sharing the ball. They probably have more, because of how well they've been doing, they probably have guys now that can, you know, they're not just all about the big guy down low. They've got more athletes than they used to have. So it will be a great game. Who's out for us big guy-wise? TBB's playing.
Yeah, you've got Collins, Onyegbuaka, the big freshman, is out, and Risto is still out. So those guys are both not going to play tonight. And
number 34, the freshman, 34.
Yeah, he's out. He's out. He's got a medical. Happened? All they said is he's got a medical condition, and that he is going to be out indefinitely. So I don't know what that means. I hope that he gets back. And but boy, like I've said before, whether it's injuries or it's things that crop up, it just seems that it's very rare for Alabama to have a complete roster that's healthy and ready to go. So, but Bristow,
that is huge, because he's a big body and he can move. And I talked to Oates back in September at a game, football game. And he said, yeah, if we can keep that guy just, you know, going forward, not knocking anybody into the stands and throwing the ball. He's just a wild, you know, he's a big, young
kid. Yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah, he is.
And, he provided depth on Saturday. Now he's out. The other guy from Cornell or Bucknell, he doesn't bring much to the table. So,
he's going to have to play tonight. Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to play some minutes, and you know, Sherrell's going to have to play well, and
don't get in foul trouble.
And those mid-sized guys, you know, they got a lot of those, you know, especially those 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" freshmen. They're going to have to get on the bat board now. You know, it's one of those things where, you'd like to have your whole roster against this team up front. But, you know, Noah Williamson, I agree with you. He's not extremely athletic. But he is 7 feet. He is 7 feet, and he is, you know, about 240 pounds. So they're going to need him. They're going to need him tonight, though. He's going to have to play some minutes tonight. Yep.
Yep. That's a huge. I'm just not for tonight, but the way. Hopefully, like, I don't know if you saw the very last thing I'll hang up. Sherrell on the very first possession last week, the St. John's guy went right into his chest, and Sherrell, you know, he's lost weight. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more athletic. He stood there, took the blow, put his hand straight up, and didn't foul. And I said, that's improvement from last year. Last year, he would knock he would have fouled the hell out of him. So, okay. All right, man, I'm looking forward to tonight. It's been a great game. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate you. All right, 9:26 here on the Gary Harris Show. And I went over to, after the early news last night, I ran over to Decades Pub and Grub and got the Nan pizzas are back on Wednesdays only, but I got the Meat Lovers, and it was unbelievable. It was so good. Weekly specials now at Decades Pub and Grub. On Tuesday, they have a $13 lunch bunch special, choice of sandwich, wrap, or salad, including your drink or tea. Wednesday, it's the Nan pizzas, available all day, exclusively on Wednesdays. Thursday, it's the Get Smashed, indulge in a $10 single Bambino burger served with fries for $10. Ladies' night on Friday, $6 Caesar salad and side of fries, and then some drink specials as well. And then Sunday is the wings special, 14-piece wings for $12, 20-piece wings for $15, serve of fries. That is a great, great special right there. And they've got nightly drink specials as well, Decades Pub and Grub. If you haven't tried it, you need to get by and try it, downtown at Timberson Square. All right, we're going to come back with Coach Ellis Johnson next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's
as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online.
The Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Jumpson Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R.U.S., and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the coach, Ellis Johnson, breaking down SEC football like only he can. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Doing fine.
Look back at last week first, and it was another one of those weekends where there was a lot on the line for some teams, and both teams that are fighting for big picture things and teams fighting for wins to try to build momentum. But let's start with Alabama and LSU. I watched the game in the press box, and it just at times it was a hard game to watch. I mean, Alabama just could not get into a rhythm offensively. Of course, as you know, when you can't run the ball, it puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback. They were in a lot of second and longs, a lot of third and longs in the game, but defensively they played really well. Limited LSU to well under 300 yards and three field goals. So they get the win 20-9. But offensively, are you concerned about the fact that the last couple of games against South Carolina and LSU, they've had trouble running it? And Ty, while he's made enough plays, has not been as efficient probably as he was earlier in the year.
Well, they go hand in hand. And I am concerned about it. It seems like it's been slipping, the running game, been slipping a little bit for the past two or three games. Maybe even more. It hasn't been consistent. Even when they've gotten their stats, they've gotten them off of some broken runs and things like that. Coming up with an opponent like Oklahoma is a big concern because they can bring the heat on a quarterback if you get one dimensional. So, hopefully they can get that ironed out. I don't know how you just invent something at this stage in the game, in the season, but they've got to get more consistent in the running game, I think, in order to finish out this run. They've got a pretty tough finish, having to go to Auburn. And I know Auburn's record is not good this year, but when they go to play in Jordan-Hare, it's a coin toss. So they've got Oklahoma, then they've got East Illinois, but then they've got Auburn. So they've got a tough road to finish this thing up, and your running game could sometime be your best friend.
Auburn last week without Hugh Freeze, it was a whole different Auburn team. I mean, offensively, they didn't look like the same squad. Of course, the flip side is when you play fast and you go up and down the field, you put your defense is stressed a little bit in a different way. So they lost again, which is nothing new for them this season, but they lost 45-38 in overtime at Vanderbilt. So they got the offense going, but it seemed like the defense suffered. So I guess it's one or the other, but Auburn fans seemed excited. I guess after watching as abysmal as their offense has been this year, even in a loss, they seemed excited about what they saw from them offensively. What did you think of the Auburn performance? And as you said, they get a bye week and then Mercer and then Alabama. There's no doubt, Coach, if they could knock off Alabama, it would put some salve in their wounds. But what did you see from Auburn in that game, and what did you see from Vanderbilt?
Well, coming into the game, Vandy is a whole lot better offensive team than they are defensive team.
Right.
Their defensive statistics have only been reasonably good because their offense stays on the field so much. But early in the game, Auburn was taking that away from them. But as it wore on, Vandy was able to get back into their mode of controlling the football. They threw the ball well, probably better than they used to have. His career high in passing yardage. And maybe DJ was distracted a little bit, having to take on the head coach requirements and all that. But it didn't look like an Auburn defense, that's for sure. And, I don't know. There's so many ways they found to lose ball games this year. This was a head scratcher. Hard to put your finger on it. But I really think it just goes down to the fact that Vanderbilt has got a damn near impossible offense to stop. You can control them a little bit, but they stay on the field so much and keep their defense out of trouble. But they weren't able to do it this time.
That's right. It's a week-to-week league. We know that. If you're playing an SEC game, you got to be ready to go. But right now, Texas A&M looks like a complete football team to me. And I know Missouri, without their quarterback, but A&M went in there and rolled them in Columbia 38-17. And the Aggies appear to be hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, I was asked yesterday on another show, who's the best team in the conference right now? And I think it's A&M. Like you just said, it may change in a week or two. Somebody else will be hot, and some other folks won't. There are no bullies in the league. There's nobody that has this dominance that Georgia had 3 or 4 years ago, or Nick Saban's run with his teams, the LSU team that won the national championship, not too far back. There are no teams like that in the SEC now. I guess it's the portal. But Missouri just not having a quarterback, it really was just a huge handicap for them. And they've had a really good running game this year, too. And they went for over 200, but they couldn't just get it done with nothing but the running game. And when you pass for 77 yards, you're going to have a hard time winning against a good defensive team.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Georgia now, they were winning games, but they were – just finding a way, and they went into Starkville and made a statement. They dominated Mississippi State on Saturday.
Yeah, it seems to me that Mississippi State is kind of starting, burn out a little bit. Their talent level looks much better this year. I think they did a good job in the offseason fixing their roster, but they're still a notch away. And the thing that impresses me the most about Georgia right now is Gunnar Stockton becoming an effective thrower downfield. And if he can keep that up, because everything else he was doing, he'd get a critical run on a big-time play at a crucial time in the game. He would be a leader. He'd take care of the football. He was doing all those things well, but really their throwing game was not really what it should be to, have a shot to go in the national championship playoffs. But he's throwing the ball downfield now. They're getting some vertical throws. That's probably even helping the running game. But 567 yards is pretty impressive. And I know State's not a good defense this year, but that's still pretty impressive and doing it on the road, too. So I tell you, I kind of had a hard time saying that Georgia wouldn't be there when it's all said and done. And if he keeps playing the way he's playing, talking about Stockton, they're going to be almost impossible to beat here.
Yeah, I'm with you there. They're looking great. And Florida, got up for Georgia, gave them a really good game in Jacksonville, but you had the coaching change, and they went into Lexington, Kentucky, of course, bouncing back the last couple of games and getting a couple of SEC wins, but they just wore Florida out 38-7.
Yeah, well, Kentucky's never a breather for anybody. They'll sometimes get beat, but you have to go in and beat them. Maybe they had kind of an emotional high the first time, first game out without the coach. I've been in one of those situations before, and after that, things start kind of creeping into the kids. Who's going to be coaching me next year at linebacker? Who's going to be here next year on the staff? Who's going to be our head football coach? Probably getting some tampering calls, too. So, just they haven't been able to keep the focus and stay together like maybe Auburn has. Auburn does it. Look like an inspired performance, although they lost. But Florida's kids look like they might not have been there mentally. And that's not a good sign. I would have said earlier that this game coming up for Ole Miss and Florida, this is a trap game for Lane Kiffin. But if they can't, if they can't kind of get it back mentally and emotionally, they'll get beat again bad again this weekend.
Yeah, and of course Ole Miss took care of the Citadel, as you would expect, 49-0. To nothing. All right, let's skip ahead to this week, and you know, again, some teams are on buys, but at the same token, Alabama and Oklahoma and Georgia and Texas are two huge football games, because if the chalk holds there and Alabama wins and Georgia wins, you know, we're kind of seeing how this thing's shaping up. But if Texas and Oklahoma were to win, it could throw this SEC into a little bit of chaos. Let's start with the Tide and the Sooners. Of course, Alabama fans remember well last year. Alabama was going in there to Norman as a favorite, needing a win to, you know, keep their college football playoff hopes alive, and Oklahoma beat them 24-3. Now, that was last year, but Brent Venables defensively has seemed to have, even when he was at Clemson, he seemed to have some stuff for Alabama. So now Alabama's at home, and I won't call it a must win, but it's a needed win for the Crimson Tide for sure. And Oklahoma, if they're going to stay in the college football playoff race at all, has to win this game.
They're probably more critical for Oklahoma, because the third loss just about probably takes them out of the playoffs. Certainly takes them out of the SEC game. We talked a little bit a while ago what possible problems are for Alabama. They have got to get some kind of running game where they can depend on it a little bit, or I think Oklahoma's really going to affect Ty Simpson. Now, on the other side, though, Alabama keeps playing the defense they've been playing. Mateer will have to play better than he has through the stretch. He's been a little inconsistent, ball security and some other things. And so that's going to be the matchup, I think, is Alabama's defense against offense Oklahoma. I do think Oklahoma's going to affect Alabama's offense. And will it be enough to win the game? I don't know.
When you look at we touched on this earlier, but you're 9 games in. You're not going to reinvent yourself. Alabama's not a good running football team. I certainly think they need to run it better than they did against LSU for 56 yards. I mean, I'd love to see them get up 125, 135 yard range at least to take some pressure off Ty and free some things up in that offense. But what can you do this late in the year to try and make, you know, I mean, they seem to be running a lot between the tackles, even though Jam Miller's not a big guy. They bring Daniel Hill in as a little bit of a change of pace. But, you know, and I know they try to do some stuff in the passing game that substitutes for running, but have you seen anything that they could do maybe to try to make the running game a little bit more productive?
Gary, I don't know. I mean, again, at this point in time of the year, if you haven't seen what the problem is and been able to, you know, work on it 2 and 3 and 4 weeks, I don't know how you change it in 4 days. Oklahoma's also had an open date to prepare for you. I think the one thing they have been doing is getting chunk plays in the passing game. And Oklahoma can be a little susceptible to that. They're very aggressive with their approach on defense. They come after the quarterback quite a bit, and so they play a lot of man coverage out back. So if they can somehow give Ty a little bit of time in the throwing game, they're going to give up some chunk plays downfield. And maybe that will loosen it up to the point that they can get some running game going and kill a little bit of clock and keep some possession.
All right, let's get to Georgia and Texas, because somebody asked me earlier this week, who do you like? I said, well, I like Georgia. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Texas can't win, but if you're asking me in this game, Georgia at home, I mean, they beat Texas twice last year, once in Austin, once in the SEC championship game. Georgia's found its stride. It didn't seem like anybody else can beat Georgia in this league, hardly other than Alabama. So I like Georgia here. Having said that, certainly Texas has got, you know, a talented enough roster to go in there and potentially pull an upset. How do you see this matchup?
I agree with you. I think Georgia at home, they should win the ball game. They'll have to be uncharacteristic, make some kind of crazy mistakes or something, ball security or bust in the perimeter. They'll have to do something to help Texas if Texas is going to beat them. And I know Texas is a very talented football team, and I really think Arch's been playing a lot better lately too. But I think Georgia's defense is more consistent. I think they're not like they have been in previous years. I think that, again, we talked about it earlier, Stockton is throwing the ball so much more effectively now, and their throwing game has a lot more variation that Texas is going to have to worry about than they used to. So, I just have to favor Georgia at home.
Ole Miss and Florida, as you said, prior to the Kentucky game, you might have said this could be a trap game for Ole Miss. Now, you do have the storyline of Florida interested in hiring Lane Kiffin. You have the storyline of, you know, Ole Miss has found a way to blow a game or two somewhere along the line in their seasons to keep them out of a chance to go to Atlanta or keep them out of the playoff. Last year it was Kentucky at home. I'm with you. I ain't gonna miss my road grade Florida here, but Florida has shown that at times they're capable. Any chance that the Gators could give the Rebels some trouble?
If they can go in and, you know, create some turnovers with that defense they've got, they'd have a chance. But Ole Miss is rested. They played a lot of their backup guys all through the second half. And I think they probably got a lot of players healthy, playing at home. I mean, there's absolutely no reason they should lose this game. Now, that being said, this may be when you get one of these crazy upsets. And Florida certainly has the talent to do it. Lagway's got to play better. I mean, they had to bench him the other day, and he's got to play a lot better for him to have a chance. And Ole Miss's defense can affect him if they don't protect. But the only way Florida can beat them is to go in and create some turnovers and get to the quarterback, et cetera, and make him make some mistakes.
Coach Ellis Johnson with us breaking down SEC football. A game that nationally doesn't mean anything, but it means a lot to the fan bases. It's a rivalry game. The boot, Arkansas at LSU. I don't know, if Bobby Petrino now has any shot getting that job on a permanent basis. I mean, they haven't beaten anybody since he took over. And LSU is in flux, obviously, with the interim head coach and Frank Wilson. But it's big to the fan bases. And, if Petrino is going to have any chance, I think, to be the permanent head coach, this might could help him out. And for LSU, they just need a win. So it's a big football game for those people, even if it's not a big game nationally.
Well, I don't know what spread on it. This is not a good matchup for LSU. You look at Arkansas's record, it's pitiful.
Terrible. LSU's 5.5, Coach. LSU's 5.5.
Yeah. And I didn't think it would be spread too wide. Arkansas scores points. And if they don't turn the ball over and load the thing up with penalties and stop it themselves, they might have an offense that can put points on the LSU. Now, on the other hand, LSU's not been productive on offense. And that's what Arkansas's problem has been, is they can't keep people off the board. So it's just, it's kind of a bad matchup for LSU. I think at home and, finishing up in kind of a little rivalry game, if you will, I think they'll probably pull it out. But this one would not surprise me at all if Arkansas is able to upset them.
Up in Columbia, Missouri, you got Mississippi State, as you said. It just kind of caught up with them. You can't – and when you're Mississippi State and you're trying to get over the hump, man, you lose those games you should win. And eventually, like you said, you just lose steam. And then Mizzou, they were so hot early, they've faded. So for Eli Drinkwitz, whose name is being mentioned for some other jobs as well, it's important for Missouri, I think, for the postseason bowl positioning to get this win on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean – 3 weeks ago, we were talking about Missouri being able to play with anybody in the conference. Right now, Garrett, not only did they lose Prabula, I think they're on their number three quarterback.
They are.
Who's playing.
They are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how they do this. Now, State is not a dominant defense by any stretch, so they might generate some offense in this game and probably will generate a lot more than it did against A&M, just simply from the matchups and the talent. But I think Missouri can go in and win this ball game. I mean, can beat Mississippi State. They got them at home, don't they?
Yeah, it's in Missouri. Yeah, it's in Columbia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can bounce back. They're still playing really good defense, and they still got as good a running game when it's on track. They've got as good a running game as inbound the conference. So I think Missouri probably wins this game.
And the South Carolina Gamecocks, a season that had so much promise, has completely got away from them. Beamer fired Mike Shula as offensive coordinator. A lot of discussion still about Beamer possibly going to Virginia Tech. Will he be back? And they go into A&M now as a 19.5-point underdog. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. Just again, this league can be tricky, but I just don't see anything in this game that tells me that A&M is going to be threatened here. I just think they're at home. They're better. They understand what they're playing for. I just see a blowout here, Coach.
Yeah, I hope not, but I think you're right. South Carolina has some players on each side of the ball that can give anybody in the league big-time problems in matchups. But right now, A&M's playing as good as anybody. And I just don't see them having a letdown right now. I don't think it's going to be an embarrassing loss, but I think by the time this thing shakes out in 60 minutes, it could be 3 or 4 touchdowns.
All right, before we wrap up the segment, and Tennessee hosts New Mexico State. I mean, it is what it is. That's another team that had a lot of promise, but all these teams had promise, and that's kind of where I'm going with this. You and I talked about it preseason. I mean, 16 teams in this league, 16 fan bases that are rabid about football, 16 alumni and donor bases that are trying to do everything they can to win. Mathematically, it's just not going to happen, and for some teams, it happens sooner than for others. And then there are some that get a little momentum late to kind of salvage something in of the season. But where I'm going with this is I was on another show this morning before mine. They were asking me about, you know, the state of college football. And, you know, the host said it seems healthy because everybody in the SEC is willing to step up and pay the money. And I agree. Right now they are. But at some point, Coach, whether it's Auburn that could have 5 straight losing seasons or Mississippi State or you know, Florida, when you are spending the money, you want return on your investment at some point. So I guess what I said this morning was, if for some of these programs that are as invested in, everybody in this league is invested, at some point, if you don't get the results, do you keep giving the money? Or do you, of course, I guess that's why they fire coaches so fast now, is they want to show that they're, you know, they're going to get it fixed. But at some point, these big donors that are being asked for so much money every year are going to say, I think the winning programs, they'll keep getting it. But what do you think about that? I mean, because you have to have money to sustain your competitiveness now in this league. That's just the way it is. If that money quits flowing in, then it's going to impact your ability to compete, right?
Oh, no question. And I think people forget a lot of this money coming in from TV. They think they're all going to live off of. A lot of that has to be spread throughout the department. And so all the Olympic sports and girls sports are pulling off of that thing too. So it's a financial strain that I sometimes can't understand. And this mess that happened with YouTube TV and Disney the other day, and all of a sudden they tell me the very first weekend of sports, they lost over $30 million, Disney did. And when things like that happen, I just can't believe there's not some kind of impact down the line. But right now in the SEC, there are 7 teams that are mathematically not out of the playoff game. And that's parity in the league now, that even more so, you know, it used to be hard to win top to bottom in this league, but there were usually any given year, there were 3 or 4 teams that just couldn't beat you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no bullies in this league, and there's a lot more parity. And again, I think it's because of what you just talked about. You can pay them now, and you can get them out of the portal, and these rosters are a lot more equal than they've ever been. They're also not as deep. And so you don't have any teams that can walk this thing and go undefeated. They're all going to end up having a day or a bad day, or they're going to have a player out. And so they're not going to be as strong as they are all through the season. I think there's a lot of that nationally, frankly. Texas Tech's a great example. They've bought a playoff team this year. And I'll be shocked if they don't make it, because they're so good on defense. Almost one of the top teams, and they may be number one in stop rate right now. So there is parity. I think it makes it more entertaining, but as we were talking on a show two days ago, there's nobody in America right now that's elite. Even Ohio State, they've not played a very good schedule, and their quarterback's not as good as a lot of other teams, so anybody could beat them when they get hot in the playoffs. So it's just not the same as it used to be. And I guess some aspects of it really makes the game better, I guess.
Final 30 seconds, and I know it's all about money. Everything's about money now. But we've talked about this before, too. These conference championship games have outweighed their usefulness. And you look at the SEC, and they're not going to go anywhere because there's too much money to be made. But go to 9 conference games next year. If you can get in that playoff, and I understand there's still a big deal to win an SEC championship, but if you play in that playoff game this year and lose, then you're not going to get a bye. You might get a home game in a couple of weeks, but you're playing a really good opponent coming off a long schedule. There's a chance for injuries. I mean, I just don't see these as exciting as they are. I mean, when you go to 9 SEC games, I just think it's too much to ask them to play a conference championship game, then turn around and have to compete potentially for 4 more games in a playoff.
It's just going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have great luck with injuries, and then you're going to have some teams along the way turn out not to be very competitive to give you an opportunity to, you know, not have to play 60 minutes or even into an overtime. It's hard to do. And what I think is an example of, Gary, you're trying to hold on to the old college environment, but they're starting to try to fix it like the NFL because it's chasing the almighty dollar. And so when you try to be more and more and more like the NFL by who's going to win the Super Bowl or who's going to win the national championship, we got to have a playoff. We got to have a real national champion. And all of a sudden, things like the SEC championship game and in basketball, the old ACC championship game, those things were absolutely the tickets were harder to get than bowl games and stuff. But it's changing, as you said. And it's because everything's just moving toward money. Money is the driving force behind every decision they make. It's the driving force behind nine games. You know, that's why they're going to play nine, because they're going to get more money from the TV people. And I'm like you. If you've got only – how many teams? You got 16?
In the league? 16 in the league, yeah.
Yes. You only got 16 teams. And I say only, it's less than the Big Ten. And you let the Big Ten talk you into going to nine games. I do like the way the schedule shakes out, the way they can rotate it every year. It makes a lot of sense. But I think nine games is too many on top of what you just said, the playoff game, and then try to – I mean, you're going to have somebody win seven games in a row, and it's going to be hard to do.
It is. Yeah, I'd like to see just do away with conference championship games, go to a 16-team playoff, get rid of the byes. That's a better system to me. But you know what? We'll see. Hey, Coach, got to go. Thank you so much.
All right, Gary, enjoy it.
All right, Coach Ellis Johnson. All right, 9:57, and I've gone over here. So what Chase is going to do, he's going to fix this up a little bit. We're going to get all our good sponsors in. So we're going to double these breaks. So when I come back on the other side, I'll be in the second hour with D. Orlando Ledbetter. This hour has been brought to you by Alabama Credit.
You contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The NBA on Wednesday night was the Nikola Jokic show. He dropped 55 points as the Nuggets outscored the Clippers 130-116. Victor Wembanyama and Stephon Castle both had a triple-double, but the Warriors defeated the Spurs 125-120 in San Antonio, where Steph Curry dropped 46 points. The Thunder blew out the Lakers 121-92. LA had 20 turnovers in the loss, and the Magic handed the Knicks their first loss of the season at home, coming out on top 124-107. Jalen Brunson suffered an ankle injury in the final minutes of the game and was seen leaving in a walking boot and on crutches. In baseball, Tigers pitcher Tarek Skubal has won the American League Cy Young Award for the second consecutive season, becoming the first back to
language. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 71. For tonight, clear with the low at 44. For tomorrow and Saturday, the weather stays dry. Lots of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM WTBC. And we're going to get it started with our pal, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. Good morning, Orlando. Good morning, Orlando.
Oh, hey, sorry about that, Gary. Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, good to have you. Good morning. Hey, how was Berlin?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. A lot of history, wonderful city. They were a great host to the NFL and the football teams. Just a thrilling game that went down to the end and into overtime. Not too thrilling for the Falcon fans, though.
Really not. And we'll get into the Panthers game here in a moment coming up. But this Falcons team appears to have a better roster than 3-6. But as Parcells famously said, and he's 100% right, in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. And this is a 3-6 team now that's in some trouble. And I just can't put my finger on it. And you cover them every week. You watch every play and practice games. Why are they 3-6?
Yeah, they elected to take two games off, Gary. You know, they elected not to play against the Panthers and against the Dolphins, and that's the difference in the season this year. They played. The Colts went toe-to-toe against them and the Patriots and the good team, Buffalo, but for some reason, they decided to take a couple days off.
They're running out of opportunities now. I mean, even with 17 games, you've got to get it. You got to get it going. There's still time. Even the Bucs, who have a win over the Falcons, are, you know, have three losses now. But this is a must win on Sunday against the Panthers. This is a Panthers team that embarrassed them earlier this year up in Charlotte, and this is a Carolina team that had a lot of traction after that win at Green Bay. But as so happens in this league, they came home and laid an egg against the Saints. But they're still 5-5. They're ahead of the Falcons. This is one the Falcons pretty much have to get, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's basically a knockout, NFC South knockout game. Right. This is going to be, too far back to make up the ground with the tough schedules coming up. The playoffs starting early for the Falcons.
On paper, Atlanta should win this game, especially at home. But as we've seen with the Falcons, as you said, they seem to play the better teams well and struggle against teams that you think they should beat. So what's the key coming back from Germany for them to get their minds right and go out and get a win?
Yeah, no doubt. It's got to start with the offense. The offense is not scoring points. Yeah, they're averaging 330 yards. That's beautiful. But you're not getting any points on the board, only 18.8. So got to get to the end zone. And by now, after 9 games, you know what works. You know how people are going to attack you. Now it's just a matter of, executing. You can't be completing 42.9% of your passes and missing wide open receivers. So, it's on the young quarterback to step up his level of play and carry the offense now.
Let's talk about Penix. Certainly he's had moments. You see the talent. You see the ability. You see why he was drafted and where the Falcons drafted him. But overall, would you say that his play this season has been a positive or a disappointment?
I would say, a disappointment in that you were hoping he would not struggle as a first-time quarterback. A lot of guys do, so it's no big deal there. Famously, Peyton Manning was 2-9. I just looked up all these stats. He was 2-9 in his first 11 games. Matt Ryan was 7-4. Vic was 6-5-1. The great Steve Burkowski was 4-7 also, like Michael Penix Jr. So young quarterbacks are going to struggle. You were hoping that he wasn't, but he did. You were hoping he could do like Jaden Daniels did last year and just take off. It didn't happen. So now you got to, help him take off. And that's where the Falcons coaches come in at. And, the good quarterbacks get developed over time. And, there's been enough there to continue with the project, I do believe. But not surprising that he's struggling as a young quarterback.
Raheem Morris, you have said for the record that you like the hire. We know the owner, Arthur Blank, thinks a lot of him. He failed in his first opportunity as a head coach. He said he learned from those experiences and after a stint with the Rams appeared ready to go. But ultimately, the head coach is responsible for the play of the team. And they're not saying they can't turn it around. You need to win, as you said, on Sunday. But this is a 3-6 team. And, how much responsibility does the head coach have? Because it seems like to me, and I'm on the outside looking in, and that's what I'm asking you, that he's kind of Teflon. Nothing sticks to this guy. I mean, it seems like to me, everybody that points to Falcons problems never say Raheem Morris, but he's the head football coach.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it falls, when I say, hey, they didn't show up to play, for two games, that's definitely on the coach. And when you look at some of the, you know, time management issues, that's definitely on the coach. You know, the coach had a 3rd and 11 with 58 seconds to go. They ran the clock down to 20 seconds, threw an interception to Bates. You only got 8 seconds left. So if he'd have called a timeout on 3rd and 11, got his interception at 50, you're in business. You save a whole minute on the clock pretty much. So, you know, we've seen hiccups like that throughout, you know, and they're stringing together, they're building up. But, you know, everybody wants them to, you know, the Falcons, to the fans do want them to succeed. They are tired of losing. It's been 7 straight losing seasons. But if you continue to have these mishaps in the coaching arena, the owner's going to be left to, you know, do what he probably don't want to do right now. So I think, you know, as losses mount, you know, the accountability towards the coach starts going more in his direction and so forth. So, it wasn't like they handed him the 78 Steelers either.
True.
You know, Andy, so there's some development and some building that has to be still done here. This isn't the Eagles. You know, they don't have Howie Roseman in there drafting right now. So,
right.
They got, you know, it's a lot of issues here, and one guy can't fix all of them in 1 year. So the owner might take that into account.
This 17th game, though, gives you another opportunity. I mean, it does. I mean, 14 games, 16 games even. This 17th game, this extra game, keeps teams' hopes alive longer. So if the Falcons could get a win on Sunday, you know, there's still time. That's the good news. But as you said, they got to win Sunday, and then they got to play well from here on out.
Yeah, no doubt, Gary. I look at it as a two-game season. You know, whenever they lose to any of these other teams, that'll knock them out. You know, the two games, you know, they gotta win. They gotta beat the Panthers, they gotta beat the Saints, they gotta beat the Jets. They can't lose those. They get back 6-6. Then, you know, you gotta try to win the rest of those. Saints again, Tampa again, and you know, then it's down to Seattle and the Rams. Two games they're not gonna be favored in. So, you know, if you lose them two games, you're at 8 already. So the best you got going for you is 9-8. Which would be a winning season. You can maybe throw a parade for that. But you don't go to the playoffs. You got to win one of them other games. And they, you know, they show they can beat Buffalo, so maybe they can man up and take down Seattle or the Rams.
I want to ask you about the Colts. You saw them up close and personal. They're 8-2, tied for the best mark in the league. Daniel Jones has had a renaissance, although lately, you know, he has shown flashes of the old Daniel Jones, but they pulled that one out against the Falcons. I thought the Falcons should have won the game, but what is could as and should as don't matter. What do you think of the Colts? Are they a serious Super Bowl contender in your opinion?
No, not with Daniel Jones in right there. I mean, they had one pass play. It was a little flat pattern to Tyler Warren. They threw it 10 times. They caught it 9. They threw one up to Alec Pierce. He came down with it between two D-backs. You know, two good D-backs would have got that ball off of him. But, yeah, he's managing it, and he's got one of the top running backs in the game. And that defense isn't stout enough to carry the team. So it's a good playoff-looking team, kind of like Minnesota last year. They got exposed with Darno in the playoff. Mm-hmm. But good for him. Good for the coach, you know. They're trying to bounce back after the Peyton Manning years, and at least they got the first half of the season figured out.
And the other 8-2 team is New England. And, you know, of course, I couldn't understand the Titans. So hard to find a good head coach in this league, and the Titans had one in Mike Vrabel, and they fired the guy, which made no sense to me. But he's back, and he's where he wants to be, and he's got the Patriots at 8-2, and I mean, they just look obviously like a different team from what we've seen the last couple of years. Is that all Vrabel, or is that is the personnel better than maybe we thought it was going into the season? Their young quarterback, Drake May. What do you think of the Patriots?
Yeah, no, I really like what he's done on the defensive side of the ball. He's got his guys in there, and they're not doing anything exotic. They're just going and blasting the running backs and taking people's run games away. And then, you know, they don't have to stop the pass as much, although they do have Gonzalez. So I watched that Buffalo game, and they didn't give James Cook any room to run. They did the same thing to the Falcons. And Drake May's got enough, you know, around him. Travion Henderson is a fine young running back, you know, so, you know, Stevenson was running it pretty good for him. They haven't asked Drake May to do a whole lot. He's running with an old school formula and developing Drake May into, he's been throwing it down the field a lot more, but throwing it mostly underneath the digs and to the tight end. So real classic, nothing real fancy about what they're doing. A lot of smash mouth to their game, and, that travels in the playoffs.
Couple more minutes with D. Orlando Ledbetter. There's so many storylines, and I have to admit the parody is cool because there's so many divisions that are, they're still tightly contested. I want to ask you though about the AFC North, because I think you had said it, and I know a lot of other people did, said even when the Ravens were 1-5, said watch out for the Ravens. That's still a division that, and they're coming now. They've won 3 in a row. They're only a game back of the Steelers. The Ravens seem to have kind of, with Lamar back, found themselves, have gotten better on defense. Are they the favorites to win that division still?
Yeah, I think so, because of the Steelers, and they're showing their limitations with Aaron Rodgers, that quarterback here of late, unless they get a revived running game here down the stretch, feel that they'll regress to the mean, come back to the Ravens, and, the Browns and the Bengals are kind of out of it. The Bengals will make a little mini charge, but it ain't going to be enough if Joe gets back. I think his window was open this week. That's definitely the Ravens division. And although I saw Lamar didn't practice yesterday, that changes everything.
If
he's okay, they'll be in it.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. Without him, you're right. Without Lamar, they're not even a contender. With him, they're a Super Bowl potential team. And real quickly, the Packers are a weird team for me. A little like the Eagles, although the Eagles are 7-2, so and comfortably ahead in their division again. But the Packers have fiddled around here, and they're 5-3-1. And all of a sudden, Jordan Love is struggling big time. They're behind. Obviously, the Lions are in that division, but they're behind the Bears. And the Vikings are nipping at their heels. Are the Packers in danger of not making the playoffs?
I think so, because we're seeing that, Josh hasn't been able to carry the running game. And the other kid from Division II school he's not a full-time back. And Jordan Love just putting the ball up, putting it in danger. So, if that continues, they're going to be in trouble.
I'm with you. Well, it's crazy. There's so many wild division races, and let's see if the Falcons can get a win on Sunday and kind of at least give the fans a little bit of hope, because you're right, they dropped that one, and it's going to be they're going to be toast. All right, Orlando, just let everybody know how they can get your information.
Yeah, they can get it on our website, AJC.com, and on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC.
Thanks, Orlando.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, it is 10:17 here on the Gary Harris Show. And in the next segment, we're open for phone calls on the hotline at 205-342-9904. If we don't get some calls, I think we're going to get some of that Nate Oates sound, because, boy, that's a big basketball game coming up tonight inside Coleman Coliseum at 6 p.m. between Alabama and Purdue. We'll be right back.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. All of Alabama's Republican members of the U.S. House delegation voted last night for the spending bill to reopen government. The two Democrats voted no. Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell is calling a provision in that bill corrupt. It would allow senators whose phones were tapped by the FBI, including Alabama's Tommy Tuberville, to seek $500,000 in damages if the records were obtained without proper notification.
This is unacceptable, to be snuck into a spending bill.
Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more local news. I'm Don Hartley.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair, featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events, rehearsal dinners, receptions.
Accessories that pair perfectly with your Dell PC and make perfect gifts for everyone on your list. Shop now at Dell.com/deals.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! 10:22, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and boy, phones are ringing off the hook yesterday. A little bit slow today, but that's going to give us an opportunity to hear from Alabama head men's basketball coach Nate Oates ahead of this big game tonight at home against Purdue. Alabama number 8, Purdue number 2, Purdue actually number 1 in the coaches' poll. So a lot on the line for the Tide and the Boilermakers tonight. And here is Nate Oates discussing this matchup coming up tonight.
We are obviously coming off a nice win up in New York at the Garden against St. John's. I told our guys it was, you know, it was tough, it's hard fought. It's a really good team. They're hard playing. So, you know, we that win will always be with us at the end of the year. But it's kind of a pointless win if we don't come in and play well tomorrow night against Purdue. And we have not played great against Purdue. The last 2 years, we're 0-2 against them. They're good. They're tough. They're smart. They've got excellent guard play. Braden Smith's, you know, arguably the best point guard in the country. He's looked really good against us. You know, they've got elite shooting. Cox killed us last year. Lawyer's one of the best shooters in the country, and they've got really good post play. So, Kaufman Wren took it right at us last year. It kind of had his way with our bigs. So we've got our hands full tomorrow night. This is it's a great opportunity for us, great opportunity for our fans, you know, to get this high rated of an opponent coming in the non-conference. You know, they're 1 in coaches poll, 2 in the AP poll. It'll be the highest rated non-conference game in the history of Coleman, and we need Coleman to be loud. We need our fans to prove that this can be one of the toughest places to play in the country, and we have been that over the last 5 years. We've got a pretty good home record against some of the best teams in the country. So, you know, the highest ranked non-conference team before Purdue was Baylor back in 22. We beat them here. Obviously, Houston's coming here. We got to win. You know, we've got big wins, and our fans have been a big part of that, and we need them to be a big part of that again tomorrow night. So hopefully they can get out and make it best home environment in the country. Injury updates: Collins, due to a medical condition, will be out indefinitely. Keaton is progressing, did not practice today. He's starting to do some basketball activity. He's highly doubtful for tomorrow. And then Davion did practice today and looked all right. So Davion, highly likely to go tomorrow, provided there's no setbacks after today's practice. So everybody else should be good to go. So,
start with Blake on the right. Yeah, just what kind of improvements have you seen from Holloway and Reitzel and just their ability to attack the rim?
Yeah, I mean, I think Holloway getting downhill with his aggressive physical drives is drastically improved from last year. You know, he never really turns it over. He's always been great taking care of the ball, but almost to the point where he wasn't aggressive enough because he was so gun-shy at turning it over. Now I think he's got, you know, that fine balance figured out. He still doesn't turn it over, but he's aggressive, gets downhill. He's got an unbelievable finishing package. I mean, he's got the floaters. He's got the high-off-the-glass scoop shots. He can get it up early, go right off right. I mean, I've been telling him, like, you don't make bad decisions once you get in the paint, so we got to get in the paint. And then I think Reitzel, yeah, I mean, he's got a different look to him. He's stronger. You know, he was out for a year, and while he was out, I think, you know, Henry Barrera, our strength coach, did an amazing job with his body. You know, he ate better. Amanda, our dietitian, got between her and Henry, and then Clark doing the rehab. I think he looks great. He's strong, physical. I mean, his physical drives. I mean, he'll put a bump on a guy with his shoulders with the way his body is now, and they're not getting back in front of him. So, and both those guys shoot it at such a high level. You got to play them close, so they got to be able to put it on the floor, and they've added that to their games. I think they're both really improved in that area of their games.
All right, a little snippet yesterday. Good bit of information there from Alabama head men's basketball coach Nate Oates ahead of the game tonight, the showdown against Purdue at 6 p.m., and that'll be televised on ESPN2. I know if you've got the YouTube TV deal, you're out of luck. Of course, you can hear it on Tide 109, and we'll look forward to Bama basketball tonight. Hey, I'm looking forward to you finding out if you're a man about Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa, and I want to offer you an opportunity to find out about it, because if you're not feeling up to par, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. And they've got a personalized treatment that starts with their signature three-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health and begin your customized treatment plan. Get in the game. Game Day Men's Health. Go by and see them at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. We'll be back with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 sports anchor, next here on The Gary Harris Show.
4040, or go to selectquote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-989-4040. Details on example rate at selectquote.com. Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show on a beautiful Thursday. It's absolutely gorgeous outside, and boy, what a weekend coming up. Alabama-Oklahoma kickoff, temperature is supposed to be in the mid-70s, possibly even the upper 70s. So got cold for a snap, but it's back warm now. But before we get to football, we're going to talk hoops with Jeff Spiegel. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Great, man. Good to have you on. We got a basketball game tonight here in Tuscaloosa, even though it's beautiful sunny weather outside. It'll be dark by the time the game tips off, and Coleman Coliseum is going to be rocking as the highest rated non-conference opponent ever for Coleman Coliseum. Purdue, one in the coaches poll, two in the AP poll, takes on number 8 Alabama. This ought to be a doozy tonight, Jeff.
Yeah, wow. I didn't realize that's the highest rated team. You can't get much higher than number 1, right?
That's right.
I think, I was looking at video from last year's game, and, I see a lot of the characters that were stars in that game last year up at West Lafayette,
mm-hmm.
For Purdue with, mm-hmm. Knight and Kaufman and, Braden Smith, incredible point guard. And then you look, who did Alabama have? They had Bylon and Holloway, were making buckets, but. So, Alabama's roster, a tad more turnover than Purdue's,
mm-hmm.
but both teams are really good. I was so impressed with Alabama at Madison Square Garden. That was just an amazing performance they put on. I mean, I was just mesmerized that whole 2 hours, all the athletic plays that both those teams made. It really had the feel of an NCAA tournament game. I mean, it really did. Because people were making, because everyone, every trip up, somebody was making an incredible play. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
Yeah, you're right. That St. John's game, what a win for Alabama. I mean, you go into Madison Square Garden against that Rick Pitino coach team with a, seven-figure, five-starting-man lineup that they've invested in, and you hung 103 on them. That was great. But as Nate Oates said, you got that win. Nobody can take it away from you. It's going to mean a lot at the end of the season, but the last thing you want to do is win that big road win and come home and lose tonight. So, and this game is interesting because of the different styles. Matt Painter and Nate Oates are two of the best coaches in the country, but they do it in different ways. Not that Purdue can't get up and down the floor. They can. And they scored 87, I think, on Alabama last year. But if they're going to pound the post, particularly with Alabama being a little bit shorthanded, they're going to try to get you in foul trouble. They're going to manage the tempo, and then Alabama's going to try to get out and go and try to make this a 94-foot game. So the two contrasting styles make it very interesting as well, Jeff.
Well, it does. It'll be a test for the big guy inside for Alabama, who was so good up at Madison Square Garden, Taylor Bobo, and it. You know, he not only, you know, blocked a couple of shots, he altered several shots. And so he'll need to play big, you know, tonight as well. And, you know, you kind of feel like, even though we're only, what, two games into the season, that, you know, Bylon's going to bring it every night. I mean, you can count on him to bring, you know, 23, 24, 25. And so he's going to come to play. But, And everybody else has just got to, you know, step up and bring their A-plus game, not just their A game. You can't count on the crowd to get you through this one, even though the crowd's going to be into it because, you know, Purdue's played in front of hostile crowds before and hostile environments because, you know, they're one of those I think they're one of those blue blood programs. I mean, I really think they are. And when you think of really blue blood basketball programs, I think Purdue comes to mind.
All right, let's get our attention to football now because a little bit of a payback game tonight for Alabama men's basketball, they hope. And then on Saturday, certainly they hope to get payback for what happened last year because Oklahoma knocked Alabama out of the playoff last year, Norman 24-3. Now, this year's team, a lot of those guys that are on this team weren't on that team. But still, Oklahoma's in position to do some damage again, and they're trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. So this Saturday afternoon, this is a big college football game against the guy, Brent Venables, who's had success defensively against the Tide, both at Oklahoma and Clemson. And for Alabama, you know, you could lose this game, beat Auburn, and still be in the playoff. But, boy, you don't want to have that pressure on you. This is a big game for the Tide at home.
Well, and I've talked to a lot of Alabama fans since last Saturday. And most of them are really nervous about this one. In fact, there was one Alabama fan who's pretty much resigned to – And, you know, I think they're taking an L on that one. And so, you know, they've got that one. Then they've got the Eastern Illinois game. And then they've got the Iron Bowl. And not to put the cart before the horse, but, you know, with what Auburn did, you know, against Vanderbilt, putting up 38 points, you know, it looks like they're a little rejuvenated down there too. But thinking on Oklahoma and the issues that Alabama had, continue to have running the football. And the Oklahoma defense is better than LSU's defense. So it really gives Alabama fans some cause for concern about where this offense is. Are they too one-dimensional? And the answer, of course, is yes. You know, but I just have a feeling that, you know, Alabama's kind of been hearing that talk, too.
Mm-hmm.
And really going to bring it. They're going to raise it a level, you know, on Saturday. And I really feel like they're going to come away with a win here. But it ain't going to be easy.
It won't be, but I do like your analysis, and I feel the same way. You know, lucky to get out of South Carolina with a win, lackluster performance against LSU. I think this is going to be a good version of Alabama, but we do talk about the running game. You're not going to reinvent yourself this deep into the season, but you need more than 56 yards, don't you think? They had 56 yards against LSU. Jam Miller averaged 1.6 yards a carry. You would think to slow down that Oklahoma pass rush, you're going to have to run it somewhat better. What can they do to kickstart the running game, Jeff?
Well, get Justice Haynes to transfer back
to Alabama.
You know, because he was a beast, and they miss him more than we ever thought that they would. But you just don't have a guy that can just stick his head in there and say, you know what, I'm getting yards. I don't care what you think. I'm getting them. You know, and you just don't have that guy back there. And, you know, you could say part of it is because, you know, the offensive line isn't creating, you know, the hole, you know, for the runners to run through. But I think it's a combination of both. I think to run the football, and Ryan Grubb mentioned this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that you just got to have the mentality that, you know what, you know, we're going to run it. Georgia's got that mentality. And Georgia's pretty stubborn about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll run and they'll run and they'll run and they'll run and they'll keep running until, you know, Chauncey Bowens breaks off a 33-yard run and gets to the end zone. I mean, that's just what they do. And so, but Alabama does not have that mentality. They just don't have it. And, you know, you can say they're going to get it. But Gary, we're 9 games in. I mean, you are who you are. And I don't know if they can fix this. And I've always felt like the deeper we've gone into the season, that eventually, you know, it's going to bite them. You know, that's going to keep them from any hopes, I think, of winning a national championship, the inability, you know, to run the football.
You mentioned Georgia because let's just be honest. If Oklahoma rolled into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama and Georgia rolled into Athens and beat or Texas rolled into Athens and beat Georgia, it could throw this SEC into flux. What about Georgia? You're right. They seem to be hitting on all cylinders now. And somebody asked me earlier, I've already shared this story today, who I liked. I said, well, I'm taking Georgia every time. I mean, until Texas proves they can beat them. Georgia beat them twice last year, once at their place, once in Atlanta. Georgia's playing well. You know, nobody seems to be able to go to Athens and win outside of Alabama. So how do you see this matchup with the Dogs and the Longhorns?
Well, you could argue the two best quarterbacks in the SEC, and you know, I know the people in Nashville are going to go, what? You could argue that the two best quarterbacks in the SEC are Ty Simpson and Gunnar Stockton. I think Gunnar Stockton, as the year has gone on, has just gotten better and better and better and better. You know, he takes care of the football. He's, you know, he's like Nick Saban used to say, he's a point guard back there. He's a great ball distributor, you know, manages the game well, seems to get him in the right play. And, you know, this Saturday game against Mississippi State was just typical Georgia, man. Because all I heard all week was, oh, they're going in there with all the cowbells. State's coming off a win over Arkansas. You know, this is a trap game. And, you know, Kirby Smart and the guys are going, okay, all right. We'll show you how much of a trap game it is. And then they just throttle those guys. And so that's the kind of Georgia that you see in November, you know, that comes to the forefront and says, you know, we're championship contenders and we don't care what anyone else says.
Hugh Freeze was scheduled to speak to the Monday Morning Quarterback Club in Birmingham. Uh-oh. But DJ Durkin filled in. Listen, Jeff, I cover Alabama. Keep an eye on Auburn, certainly. But you cover Auburn regularly. And I don't really mean this as a slight. I know they were excited by the offense, but, I mean, Alabama fans moaning about and groaning about a win over LSU, and Auburn fans seemed absolutely giddy to me. Giddy that they lost 45-38 in overtime to Vanderbilt. I know Vanderbilt's improved, but they're still Vanderbilt. I don't know, and I understand, you know, haven't been winning a lot of games around there, but I was expecting there to be some pushback because, well, look what happened to G.J. Durkin as soon as they opened up the offense, which was awesome. They moved the ball. But now you see why the defense was better because of how they were playing slower. But yet it was like there's a lot of Auburn fans that seem all in to me on D.J. Durkin. What's your take on Auburn? They're on a bye week, D.J. Durkin, and where they're headed with their coaching search.
Well, Gary, you're hearing from a section of Auburn fans that I didn't talk to.
Okay.
The Auburn fans that I talked to was embarrassed about the way the defense played.
Okay.
And they felt like, look, you score 38 points, you got to win a football game. I mean, that's more than enough points to win a football game. And the defense just didn't get it done. And you can say, you know, Diego Pavia, well, yeah, Diego Pavia has done that, you know, to quite a few football teams. He didn't do that to Alabama. You know, Alabama was able to, you know, to kind of shut him down and reel him in, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Now, if Diego had, let's say, 2 or 3 more minutes, I really think Vanderbilt would have come back and beaten Texas. So Diego Pavia is a special player. Let's not take anything away from him and the way he runs that Vanderbilt offense and the threat that he is. But the Auburn fans that I've spoken to, not happy at all, you know, with the way the defense played. And you could say, well, you know, Durkin was kind of distracted, you know, because he's taking care of his head coaching duties and all that stuff. But nobody's making any excuses, you know, like that. The defense just kind of let him down. And again, it's a matter of offense, defense, special teams. Are they all going to be on the same page? And when are they going to put it all together? Of course, the nightmare scenario for Alabama fans is that they do it, you know, November 29th at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But Saturday was a typical example of, you know, one part of the game being good, but the other part of the game not being so good.
All right, Jeff, we're winding it down. When you look at, even though we'll have plenty of time, you know, in a couple of weeks to invest in talking about the Iron Bowl, it's lingering out there. Auburn people see an opportunity to not, you know, not undo the season, but to change the way they feel about the season with a win over Alabama. Alabama has to get past Oklahoma, and I sense that everything right now is focused on Oklahoma. You know, we'll start worrying about Auburn next week before Alabama plays Eastern Illinois. But for Auburn, they're on bye, so, you know, and they've got Mercer, so you know they're working. You know they're working on Alabama. What do you think of Auburn's chances to – we'll see if it wrecks Alabama season, depending on what happens against Oklahoma, but to get a win in the Iron Bowl, because I know a lot of Auburn people will say, hey, listen, you know what? We can beat them down here, and even though they lost those last two games, they feel like they should have won them. What do you think are Auburn's chances to knock off Alabama this year?
Well, I mean, I think they're pretty good. I think the fact that Auburn's defense has been playing pretty steady all year, with the exception of what happened on Saturday. You know, DJ Durkin has done a good job of holding that team together. You know, he openly said after the press conference that there's school is coming after his guys, you know, trying to poach his players. And so there have been a lot of, you know, distractions that they've had to deal with. But the defense, you know, I think is going to rise up and play very well. You know, the crowd's going to be into it. And when the crowd's into it, you know, that certainly, you know, does help. Again, mobile quarterback. What's been Alabama's kryptonite for years and years and years? You could say it's a kryptonite for a lot of teams, but the mobile quarterback. And Ashton Daniels is a very effective guy, you know, using his legs. He ran for 89 yards against Vanderbilt, threw for 353, which no one saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's potential there. And Cam Coleman, you know, has been unleashed. You know, he had 10 catches, you know, against the Doors. So, you know, all the weapons are there, you know, for Auburn to pull off the upset. And it's just a matter of, you know, getting the breaks to go their way and just executing, you know, protecting the football, doing all the things that you're supposed to do to win a football game. But I think there's certainly some potential there for Auburn to pull off the upset for sure.
I just wanted to get your early thoughts. All right, UAB, Alex Mortensen, boy, they had a chance. They let one get away, I thought, at Rice, and he could have been 2-1 as the interim head coach. They host North Texas on Saturday. What's your sense on him being a serious candidate for that job, or do you think UAB is going to go outside?
Well, I mean, I think he's a serious candidate for the job. I think certainly, you know, if he gets a win over North Texas, and the Mean Green, Gary's 8-1.
Yeah, they are.
And this is a legitimate, like, group of six, you know, contender, you know, for a playoff spot. And they've got an offense that averages 488 a game. I think that's fifth in the nation. They're averaging 44.4 points per game, second in the FBS behind Indiana, who we all know what kind of year they've had. So if they can beat North Texas, and then he's got a win over Memphis and a win over North Texas on his resume, then he's got a really, really, really good shot, you know, at getting this job. So Saturday is pretty big for Alex, I would say.
The job that Charles Kelly's doing at Jack State, man, I mean, they're serious contenders to win their conference. People over there in Jacksonville got to be feeling pretty good about what's going on.
Yeah, Saturday is going to be an incredible atmosphere. Night game there at Amherst Stadium. Kennesaw State's unbeaten in Conference USA. Jack State's unbeaten in Conference USA. So a lot of people are fired up about that. There's going to be a sold-out crowd there.
Wow.
They're going to be into it. And it's going to be on ESPNU, Gary. So, you know, I would, you know, right after the Alabama game's over, I mean, you need to switch over there because Cam Cook is one of the most exciting running backs,
mm-hmm.
not just in Conference USA, but in the country. There was one point in the year where he was the leading rusher in terms of yards gained in the country more than anyone else. So this guy's legit, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's one of the games I'm looking forward to seeing the most on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's neat that it's going to be sold out over there, and that's going to be it's going to be rocking. Real quickly, high school football playoffs enter the second round. Any storylines from the first week that grabbed your attention?
Well, the big story was, Region 3 kind of disappeared, with the exception of Thompson. Vestavia lost on the road at Auburn. Hewitt Trussville lost to Opelika. Hoover lost at Central Phoenix City, which we fully expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone thinks that if Thompson wins and Central Phoenix City wins, that the semifinal game, which will be played in Phoenix City, would be for the state championship. Although I think people are overlooking Baker, and also Auburn, when they say that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the big thing to me, is how Region 3 is always so strong in the playoffs, but not this year. And then Clay Chalkwell kind of got tested by Jackson Owens.
They did,
but they pulled away. So Clay Chalkwell, I think, is, their offense is hitting on all cylinders. And then, the fact, lo and behold, there's Thompson. Thompson's still looking for another state championship and looking good.
Yeah, the Hewitt Trussville loss was the one. I'm with you. I didn't expect, although Vestavia maybe a little bit, but I certainly didn't expect Hoover to win. But I thought Hewitt Trussville would win at home, and they didn't. Of course, here in Tuscaloosa area, Northside looking to move to 12-0 on Friday night, Jeff. I mean, there's some history being made up in Samantha. And, boy, they haven't just been beating people. They've been beating them silly.
I did. I got an email from a Northside fan saying, where's the love for Northside? So I've been pumping them the last couple of weeks. When I was in Tuscaloosa, we worked pretty closely with those coaches over there. They have a really strong baseball program at the time. So I love that place. I've always loved West Alabama and Tuscaloosa, but pulling hard for the Rams to beat Viger for sure.
Yeah, they're going to be tested for sure. I mean, Viger, I'm telling you, Jeff, my experience here is Viger has ruined a lot of teams from West Alabama's playoff dreams over the years. I can tell you that. They have. It's not been, usually when a Tuscaloosa area team plays Viger, it's not been a good outcome, but maybe Northside can change that. Hey, thank you so much, Jeff. Give us a word on the ELG wrap. You'll be loaded again on Saturday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, coming up after the Texas-Georgia game, appreciate everyone's support for that show. It's fun to do. And, Gary, I hope you have a great Thursday and great weekend.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you. All right, it is 10:51. Let me give you a word about a new sponsor, Rock and Roll Sushi. Man, you combine two of my favorite things. You know how much I like rock and roll? I also love good sushi, and I love the Hibachi Grill. Go to their menu and just take a look for yourself, man. What a terrific menu of sushi. Classic rolls, their headliners, the Hibachi Backstage Grill. They've got the ramen noodles. They've got just an unbelievable menu. And they've got daily happy hour specials for every day of the week. They're located 2229 University Boulevard, right downtown. And neat atmosphere, all the rock and roll memorabilia, and the food is unbelievable. You got to try it out. That's Rock and Roll Sushi. Get your rock and roll and your sushi on at the same time. All right, we're going to come back and wrap up this edition of the Gary
Harris.com, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily...
It's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 71. For tonight, clear with a low at 44. For tomorrow and Saturday, the weather stays dry. Lots of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama
fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
All right, 10:56, winding it down for the Gary Harris Show. Good guest list today, good content. A little different show. We didn't get the phone calls that we normally do, but I'm sure they'll be chiming in tomorrow when we're live for Fridays at the Free. Come on by and see me. They open at 11, but you know the drill. If you come to the side door over by the stage where I'm set up, you can come hang out early. I will be, I'll have some of the Texas Roadhouse $25 gift cards to give out. Man, Texas Roadhouse is awesome. Appreciate those. So I'll give a few of those out tomorrow if you slide by a little bit early. And, of course, I usually try to eat lunch at Innisfree if possible, if it fits my schedule. Last week we had a big group, Chase. We must have had 10, 12 people that came by. So that'll be fun tomorrow. So I expect the phone calls to be rolling in. And also, as I said, our Bama football trivia giveaway courtesy of T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, and the University Mall, plus SEC point spread predictions. Went 5-0 last week. So I'm feeling my oats. Hey, before we get out of here, a reminder, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you and you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street downtown. It's where I work out, although it's been tough for me lately getting in. My schedule's been crazy. Been nuts. But when I do work out, you can bet you're going to find me at the Y. And not just because I enjoy working out there. I love the people. Love the members. I've made a lot of friends. It's a great, great, great place. And get by and see them. They'll show you around. And if you're on the senior side of things, they got the Silver Sneakers program for seniors. So personal training, everything's right there at the Y. The only thing's missing is you. The Y's ready when you're ready for the Y. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks to Chase for helping out as always. And the Miller's Edge is coming up next. Catch me on TV tonight with your sports on WVUA 23. Then back here tomorrow for the TGIF Fridays at the Free edition. I'll say back here. I'll be at Innisfree Irish Pub for the Friday edition of the Gary Harris Show. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy this terrific weather.